Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome here. What a windy night, eh? Did any of you get some wind out here, too? I'm from Altona, so I know it's a little bit of a trek and across the international date line, right? That's where Altonaites don't cross the Plum Coulee Highway and Winkler people don't cross because nobody dates each other on the other side. I know it's different everywhere, but that's how it feels. So last night, I had the privilege of staying up most of the night and listening to the wind because in the back, there was this huge tree of ours, which I had built this glorious treehouse on, and it kept rubbing against the wires, and there were tons of sparks flying everywhere. And so I called Manitoba Hydro, and I said, hey, there's a tree down. And they said, well, do you have power? And I says, yeah, well, then get in line. Because there were so many people that didn't have power last night. So I had to stay up and make sure my glorious treehouse didn't get burned down because it was so windy. And this morning, I'm feeling it. I definitely am. Well, what do I want to speak on? The story that was read this morning leads into what I want to talk about. But I want to talk about the temple. So if you got your Bibles with you, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And there's three verses there, 14 to 16, that I want to talk about. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. And it reads like this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I want to talk about the temple this morning for just a bit. I'm going to need 10 volunteers. 10 volunteers. There's no age limit. We'd love to see some of you that have no hair or gray hair. We'd love to see that also in the older people, too. So, 10 people, if you would make your way up front. And you could do it now. It's not an altar call. Just need you to... thank you. Appreciate that. Come here. These, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Perfect. You guys are all looking at me like you want to come up, so come on up. Second bench from the back. Yeah. There we go. So I need at least 10. Let me just count. I know it's different out east. 1, 2. Yeah, you guys are coming on up. 3 is your second number. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's perfect. Can't get better than this. All right, so the temple in the Old Testament time. This is kind of how it worked. There was a bunch of stages that you kind of walked through to get to the big place, all right? And so first of all, there was kind of the outside, which is outside the temple, which would kind of like being out there. And only Gentiles were allowed in that area. They couldn't come any further in. So the Gentiles were outside the foyer, outside everything. They had to stand outside, all right? So I would like you to stay there, but I would like you three to come with me. All right? So Gentiles are over here. And you got to stay there, all right? And the reason why Gentiles were women is because women aren't allowed much further than this. So there's a reason why I picked on them, all right? Next, so you guys all come this way. You're not Gentiles, all right? And then next part was the Jews, and they could come into this, into the foyer, all right? That was kind of the outer courts. And so you come with me. You're going to have to come over here. And you guys right there, you come stand over here. And this is where the outer courts was. And so there was a system here, right? And so now this is where the Gentile or the Jews could come. You guys all walk over here. Now we get to the priests. And the priests could come into the sanctuary, which was called the Holy. The Holies. Yeah, we'll call it the Holies. All right? There should be 4. You got to come with me. Otherwise, it won't work. All right. And so they could come into the Holies. And this is where we were talking about in Uzziah, where they came into the holies and they were burning incense, right? All those priests came in. And then there was a high priest. I know you're the shortest, but come with me. You can go up 2 steps and then that'll count as high. So I got to look up to him, right? This was the Holy of Holies. This is where the high priest would come. And he could only come into this area once a year. And he would offer sacrifices for the sins of people. And in between this area here and the Holy of Holies, this is a really holy place, was this big curtain, thick curtain, that was set up in between. And so when the high priest would go in once a year and he would offer sacrifices, they would tie a belt or a rope around his waist, and he would have bells. And have you ever heard that saying, I'll be there with bells on? This is where it comes from, okay? So he would go in, and if the bells would stop ringing, that means he did something wrong and he died. Now, how do you go in except once a year? You don't. And so he had this rope tied around him, and they pulled him out. That's how they got him out, if he did something wrong, in the Holy of Holies, offering sacrifices once a year. So do you get the picture? We got the Gentiles at the far end who were there, and if they had a request for God, they would have to find a Jew that was sympathetic to them, who would find a priest who would then tell it to the high priest. And the Jews would have to find a priest to tell it to the high priest, to speak to God on their behalf. And that's how it went. You never came forward. If you were a Gentile, you never came further than what you were right there. And women never made it past where Jews are. And then you got the priests and the high priest who would go in once a year. And then something amazing happened. Remember when Jesus died and that temple curtain ripped? That was this curtain right here that separated the holies from the Holy of Holies. And suddenly, all these, you guys, go ahead and walk over there. This place that became sacred and quiet and nobody was allowed in there except once a year was suddenly thrust open, and the priests could go, and the Jews, you can come with me, and the Gentiles, you guys come, even the women could come. Look at that, we're just getting somewhere, eh? And this place that was supposed to only be able to be accessible and private was blown open because Jesus Christ died and paid the price for our sins. And you no longer had to find somebody to approach the throne room of God. That was blown wide open for every one of us. Thanks, folks. Appreciate you helping me out. I don't have candy like a kids feature, but God will bless you. All right. You get the picture? That all opened up for us when Jesus Christ died. So what? That's my question. So what? What does it matter that this big, thick curtain that could barely be lifted up because it was so heavy was torn open, and that sacred space was an invitation now for every one of us? Well, it'll either make a big difference or no difference at all, depending on who you are and who you choose to be. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to challenge you today as we walk through this to not be like the Gentiles at the end, who stayed over there and were never invited into this Holy of Holies. I want to challenge you on that this morning. There's a real challenge there for us. It's easier than you think to be that person. In fact, we probably see it all the time and don't recognize it. It's that easy. But first, we're going to have to tackle a few things. The first thing I want to tackle is this. Jesus is the complete picture of God the Father. In order for us to understand how we can get from there to there, we need to understand that Jesus is the complete picture of God the Father. He is exactly who God is. The Trinity is made up of three parts. Although they're one, they're three in one. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three parts have been around for eternity. Each exists as three parts, but one. Jesus wasn't created at Christmas. He happened to be born then, but he wasn't created then. He was never created. The Holy Spirit wasn't born on Pentecost. He was never created. All three persons of the Trinity were at the creation of the world and have always existed. Don't ask me how to explain that. That's one of those mysteries. And we can come up with all kinds of cute little pictures, like, you know, like God's like a peach, right? There's the stone, there's the flesh, and there's the skin. You know, and all three make up a peach, but each one separate. Or we can talk about ice and water and, and vapor. And you know, you understand? We can never get a full picture of this Trinity, that Jesus is the complete picture of God the Father. And we would like to not acknowledge that Jesus is the complete picture, because he is the complete picture of God the Father when Uzziah breaks out in leprosy, and he's the complete picture of God the Father when the children run up to him. But we'd like to not acknowledge that. It's easier to say that God isn't like Jesus, that God is harsher, and that he's up there and he's hard to know, and that Jesus is our buddy, and he would never hurt us. It's easier to talk like that. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And earlier in verse 15 it says, "He is the image of the invisible God." So what we don't see, which is God the Father, what we don't see there, Jesus is the complete image of God the Father. We don't see God the Father, but we see who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus is the complete picture, the complete picture of God the Father. And this is important for us to understand, because it affects how we see events around us. I get to see a lot of stuff that happens in the hospital, and visit with a lot of people who are kind of at crossroads, who are at difficult places in their life. And to this very moment, I can still see it clear as day, a young mom and her husband talking with me hours after they lost their baby, and the baby was alive minutes maybe. And they were saying to me, "I guess it was God's will, because we prayed that he would save the baby, but it was his will to let her die. And I don't know, and I know he is teaching me something through this, but I don't know what that is." I still remember that clearly, being in that conversation. Get what's happening here, right? You see, God out there on high, non-personal, would let something like that happen, because he doesn't really care about me. He sits up there in some galactic throne room with minions running around, and he's mapped every last detail out from start to finish of the whole earth, including how this baby needed to die, and how the parents needed to be taught a lesson, and how the lesson would not be readily known. Is that really how we see God? Is that really how we grasp God? Except then we have Jesus Christ, who is our complete picture, remember? Our complete picture of God the Father. And he comes along in Luke 11, verse 11. He says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" I bet you there would not be a single one of us dads in this room who would say, "Well, I would." No, we wouldn't. And he goes on to say, "Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That's the complete picture of God the Father. See, God created a world in which freedom of choice was to be honored no matter what. And because in that kind of world we're free to choose love, love that is chosen is real. Love that is chosen is powerful. Love that is chosen moves mountains. It's the real deal. But that also means that there are other choices that others make that he also honors. And sometimes those choices lead to bad places. Sin in our world has broken it, and things happen every day that God never willed, wasn't ever part of his plan. But he understands our choices, and he understands that choices have consequences. And we need to remember Ephesians 6, which says that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against all these other things in the spiritual world, which also have free choice, which also have consequences. Demons were once angels, and they chose to rebel. A marriage where one cheats on the other was never God's will, but the consequences of those choices are felt, and the hurt is strong. And in the midst of those choices and how life folds out, I want you to remember these words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Man, suddenly God knows you a lot better than we thought, doesn't he? I see, our God is not one who's out there, veiled by some thick, heavy curtain, and accessible only once a year. He has felt everything we feel. He has been tempted by the same things. And he understands our weaknesses. Jesus Christ is the complete picture of God the Father. The second thing we're going to tackle is this: don't get distracted. In verse 14, the Bible tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. See, when you get distracted, you can't hold firmly to something. You know this. If you're about to hit a nail with a hammer and someone calls your name and you turn away, what happens? Well, usually you hit your nail, not the nail. Get it? You get distracted. Or when you're driving down the road and you start texting. How many times haven't I seen that when I've crossed the international date line? I don't know what it is with Winkler people, but their phones are just, all they can do is text. You get distracted while you're driving. Or you pick up a McDonald's Big Mac. Everybody knows a Big Mac is going to squirt everywhere. Why do we buy it through the drive-thru? There should be no Big Macs in the drive-thru. Why? Because while you're driving, what happens? This thing, boop, falls in your lap and you get distracted. Don't get distracted. It's that simple. My son came to me one day and he confessed almost in tears, Dad, I try to be good, but I get so distracted. We have some issues. We're working on them. Do you know spiritually we get distracted all the time because we listen to this CD or we watch this message or we do this or we go to that concert or we do this banquet, and they're all good things and they're all great things for our soul, and yet they distract us from what really counts, which is what? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Don't get distracted. In verse 14 it says, hold firmly to the faith we profess. In other words, don't get distracted. So the writer of Hebrews understood that we get distracted. So later on in Hebrews, he wrote this out for me. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And if you want to turn there, that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. And he talked about how not to get distracted. These are privileges that are designed to help us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Privileges that are made for Christ followers to help us not get distracted. So that we not only talk about being a Christian, but that we be a Christian. That we do it. And he outlined it easy for us. He started everyone with let us. Not the salad. Ugh. Wouldn't happen. But let us. As in let's. Us do something. So let us. The first one, found in verse 22, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and have our bodies washed with pure water. The first thing is this, to spend time with God. To draw near in this passage means, carries with it to be familiar with. In other words, it's going back to the picture of Jesus being the full picture of God the Father, with whom we can share all our deepest thoughts and experiences. It means being that close, not apart. To draw near, we can share everything, our worries, our needs, our emotions, because he's experienced them all too. So take time every day to draw near, to be comfortably close to God. Read from this book every day. I don't care if it's just a verse. If that's all you're going to do, then do it every day. Because by the next week you'll be doing two, and by the next week you'll be doing three, and it'll grab you. Draw near to God. Stay close to God. Pray every day. And we can do this because the sacrifice for sin has been paid. When Christ died on the cross, He died for the sins that were committed. He died for the sins that are being committed today. And He died for the sins you will commit tomorrow. It's already been paid for. Hard to understand. Draw near to God. Second one is this. It's found in verse 23. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." The hope we profess is the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. And Jesus, who promised this, is going to deliver that. Is that the hope you undeniably believe in? The third thing that pops out is this. And it's found in verse 24. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." So now, to help us not get distracted, we should be thinking about how we can spur each other on, how we can help each other live out this life of Christianity, of following Jesus. You ever thought about that? How you'd help someone love more, love deeper? You ever given it real thought? Would you write a note? Would you make a phone call? How would you do that? Sometimes the best thing that can happen is a strong handshake and a look square in the eye does wonders. I used to have this man who phoned me regularly, but never on a regular, consistent basis. I always knew it was coming, but I never knew when it was coming. So it wasn't like every Tuesday morning I'd get a phone call. This is when I was a pastor. But he would call regularly, and he would just, 2 minutes, that's all he, I think, had attention for, because he had a short attention span. And he'd ask me one or two questions, and then he'd tell me he was praying for me and encourage me with a verse, and he was gone before I even say goodbye. Just happened that fast, but I always knew it would come. And I always knew it would spur me on, especially that day, to love and good deeds. It's just perfect. Listen, how will you do that? I want you to consider that. In fact, I even challenge you not to let the sun go down today before you've done that. Do it that quick, and then do it again tomorrow. The fourth thing is found in verse 25. "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, what day is that? That is the day that Jesus will come back and bring us to heaven. Guess what? From last week, we're 1 week closer to that happening. Today, we're 1 day closer than we were yesterday. It's going to happen, and it will happen soon. We don't know when, but we know it will happen soon. Because that day is coming, and we see it. See, we have to get out of the mindset that it's, that it's okay to be a lone ranger in the world of Jesus. As much as I like living there, it's not okay. It's not okay to think we can do it all on our own. Even Jesus wasn't alone. He had 12 disciples around him and then 72 beyond that. And we need to meet together to encourage each other. We need each other so that we don't get distracted. We need each other. By the way, you can come to church every Sunday morning and never meet what this verse is talking about. This is talking about deep fellowship, not an attendance, and then check. All right. So we have the picture of God the Father being fully revealed in Jesus Christ. And we have the tools to help us not get distracted. And so now when we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, this means something. That picture of the torn curtain, that opportunity for all these people to walk into the Holy of Holies and approach this place, means something. And this is how it reads now. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This is why this verse is so important. I bet there's not a single person in this room here today that does not have a need, that does not have something that is weighing them down, that does not have something that is taking the joy out of life, and you're not sure how to deal with it, I bet you every one of us has a need. Some of us have two. There's some of us that maybe have five. Some of us have needs that have been put there because we've made bad choices. And some of us have needs that are put there because others have made bad choices. It doesn't matter. The verse says, come with confidence into the throne room of grace. Find what you need. Will you do that? Will you allow God to meet your every need? And will you do it with confidence? Listen, He doesn't care if you've sinned in that, well, you're no longer allowed to talk to me. We just read it this morning. His love is never failing. He wants to meet that need. Will you let Him? Let's pray together. Well, God, that's probably one of the biggest scares that we have. That's probably one of the biggest things that keeps us living as Gentiles is God, we just don't feel worthy. And yet You invite us to come into Your throne room of grace and to get mercy. And You invite us to come in with confidence, which means that we can come in and we know we have a friend in Jesus. We know that You will meet with us. So with the needs that we have that we're thinking about right now, I pray that You would meet them, Father. I pray that that You would reveal to us Your will, that You would reveal to us how You want to work in our life. And Father, for those things that won't go away, we know that You're going to meet the other needs that surround it. You will give us the strength and the mercy to deal with it. And so we just pray that You would speak to our hearts as we lift up those needs to You. We so desperately need You in our lives, God. And we are so grateful that You have opened the way to the Holy of Holies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.